HIMS.com/RADIO.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar. It's time for Facts on Sports with Faxon Childress and John Haidt.
Rattler awaits a shotgun snap, gets it. Blitz coming, pressure coming. Barrett Carter getting out and sacking Rattler.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! With 0.6 seconds remaining.
He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Oh, what a play by Mike Williams. A touchdown of 19 yards.
I mean, he put Jamarcus King on his back and gave that chicken a ride.
Free throw shooter.
Clark in a straight check. Oh, he didn't need to do that. He threw it away. King, Pegues.
To the sideline, caught first down. Woo!
What a hit! Denzel Ward, you got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Well, there's Chase Hunter, 2 seconds, one launches a three. Good if it goes, it does. Chase Hunter, the three at the buzzer, sends Clemson into the locker room up 10.
A double pumper. That was a double pump shot.
That was another one from the band down by the river.
Now, let's go live to Faxon Childress and John Haidt.
We welcome you in, everybody. It's the Monday edition of Facts on Sports with Faxon Childress and Mike Vaughn here on The Roar. Monday, July 7th, 2025. After an elongated break for the 4th of July, hope everybody had a great 4th of July weekend with their families. Excited to be bringing some local programming to you once again today on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines will be open. Adams Co. Roofing text line will be open. Much to discuss on the itinerary today throughout the course of the program, including college football. Everybody's favorite. We're in the middle of July, which means we're allowed to talk about it. That calendar is flipped, folks, and we're just about a month and a half away from being back in Death Valley watching Clemson Tiger football. So we've got some Clemson Tigers topics to bring up today on the football scene and some national college football topics to get to as well. Excited for you guys to join the program on that. We'll be talking a little bit of National Football League. We'll briefly hit on a couple teams, some updates throughout the course of this past weekend with the NFL offseason. Same to be said for the NBA. Not a ton of fireworks. The first ever seven-team trade was completed in the NBA, but even saying that out loud is a little bit fraudulent, and I'll walk you through why, because it was really just cap relief and a couple teams using their exceptions and dumping some replacement-level players with each other, and then the Kevin Durant thing actually got thrown in that seven-team trade. So we'll unpack all of that. We'll talk a little bit of Wimbledon. We'll talk a little bit of CONCACAF Gold Cup as the United States fell to Mexico last night in a tournament that they've historically dominated over the last decade. We'll talk about what went wrong and what needs to change prior to the 2026 World Cup if the United States wants to have a successful World Cup campaign as the host country. Again, 654-ROAR if you want to join us and check in. And don't know if I mentioned it, but we'll talk some Major League Baseball and some Atlanta Braves as well. Rough weekend for the Braves. Some more rough injury news. It just is what it is at this point. In all honesty, I'm shifting gears. I'm focusing towards next year. I think there are still a lot of positives with this team. And there are still a lot of young pieces and really good players that we can watch over the back half of the season. But playoffs, out of sight, out of mind after this past weekend, in my eyes, just from an objective standpoint. And you guys know we do the best that we can around here to keep things objective. Missed y'all. Excited to be here today on a Monday after we last checked in on Wednesday. Mike Vaughn, John off today and tomorrow. Excited to have you join me, brother. How was your long weekend? How was your 4th of July with your family?
A lot of work this weekend. A lot of baseball over in Spartanburg. Enjoying that, and had some good times. Some of my family was out of town, so got to spend a little time with some friends and I saw a couple of family members, but not extended family time for me this weekend. But still a good weekend. really enjoyed being with some great folks over with the Spartanburgers this weekend. Hey, so that was a lot of fun.
There you go. I got to get over to that new stadium, Mike V. Is this as cool as it looks in the pictures online with the Spartanburgers?
You know, I love both of these upstate ballparks that we have when we think about minor league baseball. Obviously, the Greenville Drive celebrating their 20th season.
That's a classic. You got the Green Monster. You got downtown Greenville in the background. Like, that's just awesome. It's hard to beat that for me.
That's right. And then this brand new Fifth Third Park in Spartanburg, it's something to see. You've got to get over there and see it. And this team is doing phenomenal. They had, I think they took 5 out of 6 from the Winston-Salem Dash this past week. So they will be headed down to face the Rome Emperors starting tomorrow.
How about that?
That's right.
Looking forward to that. So definitely great stuff for the 4th of July. Get in with us at 654 Roar with how your 4th of July weekend went, what your plans were with your friends, with your family, and more. I got the chance to see some family this past weekend. Also got the chance to go out on the boat with a friend of the program, Grayson Mann from Tiger Nut. His family was gracious enough to extend me that invite out there with him. You know, Mike, we all have things in life that we're really good at. We also have things in life that we're really bad at. I found out the hard way that wake surfing is not for me, but I gave it my hardest effort, and there is something to be said about that. If you guys know me, or anybody listening like actually knows me in person, you know that I'm not somebody that shies away from a challenge or something new, whether it's food, whether it's an athletic event, whatever it is. I'm always down to try something once, right? I feel like that's a pretty important quality to have, is to get out of your comfort zone. So I didn't go on the water a lot growing up. My family wasn't big water people, I should say. So I don't have a lot of experience with the water sports. And Grayson and his family, they were trying to show me the ropes with wake surfing. I could, like, get up onto the board by the end when we were trying, but I could never strike that balance and ride the wave because I had never been on, like, a surfboard before. So that was how I spent the weekend. So big shout-out to Grayson, his family, for being gracious enough to extend me the invite. Had a blast. Great folks out there and excited to catch up with Grayson on Thursday this week. We'll also have some content coming to you guys up in Charlotte for ACC kickoff. So excited to continue to collab with Grayson on some great Clemson content, and he does a great job with all of his endeavors over at TigerNet. So shout out to those folks, and shout out to his family. Texter gets in. My 4th of July went as good as Clemson's recruiting, if that tells you anything, but make me feel better about not getting that 5-star defensive tackle. That one hurt. We will get into the BPW news. I guarantee you that. We will talk Clemson football recruiting throughout the course of the program today. If you have thoughts, if you have commentary, 654 Roar is the number. We'd like to hear from you. And yeah, obviously, it was a disappointing weekend from that standpoint, but, you know, based off of some of the information I've heard, and again, I'm not super tapped with recruiting. Like, I'm tapped because of my job, and I'm tapped because I'd like for the football team to win. I don't really hide from that. I don't think there's a reason to hide from that. But, you know, in 2025, man, like, obviously, Larry and Paul and all those folks at Tiger Illustrated, they do such a phenomenal job with their coverage, and Grayson and David at TigerNet, and Will and all the great folks and Ashby, who's our intern as well, and all the great folks over at the Clemson Insider, like John Blau. I could name all the guys in the Clemson beat. They do such a phenomenal job covering recruiting. But for me personally, in 2025, Mike, and I'm interested to get your thoughts on this because we come from a little bit different of a generation. This is going to sound kind of old man, get off my lawny of me. Recruiting's just not the same anymore with all this money being thrown around. And I'm sorry, I hate to say it, but for me personally, that's just kind of the perspective I've elected to take from this. Like, I used to be one of those recruiting nerds that was staying up for all the updates, right, and subscribing to all the sites and tracking all the players that Clemson was going to get growing up. And, like, just growing up, I knew I was meant to work in this industry to some extent because first thing I would do from the age of 5 onwards is check the box scores. But another thing I would do is, like, when I would wake up before school, I'd go and I'd check on all the latest recruiting stuff for Clemson football. I just don't have that same type of drive to follow recruiting anymore. And I think a part of it, Mike V, is because a verbal commitment doesn't really mean anything anymore in 2025. What are your thoughts on this new crazy shark-infested waters landscape of recruiting where Clemson's had some hits and they're slated to have a really good class, but they also had some misses on some guys they thought they were going to get, like a BPW?
I'm in agreement with a lot of that, Faxon. I think not only the drive to go and find all those things out, but the energy to do it. It's so exhausting trying to keep up. And now in this new generation, this new revolution with all the different things that we're dealing with in recruiting, it gets harder and harder to keep up with this stuff.
Yeah, it's just pretty difficult, man. It's pretty difficult. And like Texter gets in and kind of articulates my point, in totality by saying, I loved recruiting 15 years ago. It was one of my favorite things to follow. I hardly pay attention to it anymore. And while I'm aware it may sound crazy that I might have been more plugged in at age 8 than I am at age 23 now, even though I'm still pretty young, I was waking up before third grade checking on Clemson football recruiting in 2008. You know, I remember when CJ Spiller committed, and I remember both of my parents telling me what a big deal that was at the time. I would, go out and map some boards like on note paper, and that used to be a big thing I was into as well. I would write down all the recruits. You know, I would get the new rosters after the spring game because we would go to the spring game and I would get a roster, and then I'd come home, Mike, and this is on theme for today because it's college football release day for the video game, and then I'd load the new rosters into the video game every year for the Tigers, and I'd go play with Clemson. So that's what I was doing, and like a lot of these guys, I already knew because I was following recruiting, whereas now it's just really difficult for me to fully invest like I used to with the way that commitments change. Really, it's seemingly overnight or within the span of 5 to 10 minutes sometimes, and there's dollar signs being thrown, and there's information that we're privy to about the flip-flopping, and there's agents that are leveraging for more money from other schools. Again, it's a mess. You don't need me to tell you that. I'm sure all of y'all know that sitting back at home or wherever you are this morning out in your car. But yeah, man, it's just unfortunate. Clemson did lose BPW this past weekend, a big-time defensive tackle recruit that, I would say that the majority of the fan base probably anticipated to get at one point. But again, it's hard to point fingers and play the blame game, even if you wanted to do that at anybody on staff in 2025 with how volatile this thing is. So that's really my takeaway on football recruiting as of right now. And listen, it's going to be beating the drum as to what we've said, and I'm sure many pundits have said across the country, but we just need a level playing field and some rules and regulations against tampering and a couple of the other important things in relation to the financial element of this thing. If everybody was playing on the same playing field and you were bidding amongst each other under a hard salary cap, I would have no complaints in the world. I would never complain about recruiting again because that's probably the most fair way that you can frame it as of right now. But with no rules, no sort of regulation on recruiting as of right now, you get what you got this past weekend with Texas A&M, who can come in and drop these bags on everybody's heads. So it just is what it is. Texter gets in and says, happy college football 26 release day. Brother, I'm excited as well, 5'6", 4". I know pretty much 90% of the male population will be taking their talents to the video game at some point this week and playing college football. So happy gaming back at home if you got that early access edition. Chad the mailman says, except bicycles, not trying that. Not just yet. Braves need to win some games or something needs to go well in the sports world for me to to delve into that. Another texter gets in and says, I'm not mad about BPW. He went for a team that's going 8-4 since, known for going 8-4 since Manziel left. Their best season was the COVID year where they went 6-1. He'll be in the portal by his sophomore year. And, Quez makes a couple interesting points. So I want to walk this out. 654 Roar is the number. I'm not necessarily going to take this in the direction of the recruiting and the BPW thing. I more just kind of want to get opinions from the audience and see where your guys' perspective is on Texas A&M, maybe not even just as a program, but as an athletic department in totality and in general. Because I was talking with some of my friends last night. We were talking about this BPW news, obviously, with a big five-star defensive tackle, if you don't know what I'm talking about, choosing Texas A&M over Clemson this past weekend. And it just got the ball rolling for me mentally, and it got me thinking, is there a more consistently underperforming and disappointing athletic department in the country than the one that resides in College Station? And this isn't me throwing a shot. I don't care enough about Texas A&M to throw shots. Again, Quez gets in and says they're 8-4 every year. This is the Clemson flagship. We don't need to throw shots at 8-4 every year. But when I think about the total level of investment, right, the total level of investment from their athletic department into each and every one of their individual programs, whether that be men's basketball, where they backed Buzz Williams for forever with a ton of NIL money in this new landscape, whether that's women's basketball, where Texas A&M has struggled pretty consistently. I won't sit here and lie, but it's my understanding that they have a pretty high payroll, whether it's football, where we know they have a massive payroll, or whether it's, baseball, where they've had a revolving door of coaches to some degree and they've made a couple runs. But the ultimate takeaway with Texas A&M, their athletic department, and I would say this century, underperformance, disappointment, a large total investment with not a lot of results or silverware to show for it. So, Mike V, audience can get in on this at 654-ROAR, and we're going to take a quick break and get to JJ and Anderson first thing on the other side. But do you think it's crazy to say that the most disappointing athletic department in the country perennially resides in College Station? This has nothing to do with BPW. This isn't really even a salty Clemson fan coming out in me. I guess I just don't necessarily understand what the allure is outside of the financial element when they are recruiting for these individual sports, because they never necessarily win anything. And they're always, like, good, but can never make that leap into being a true contender in their respective sports across collegiate athletics.
I understand your point, and somehow they keep that fan base right there in the mix with them.
Those
folks are always so fired up to support their teams and support their players. But I can see where you're going with that.
It's interesting to me. I don't want to say that I'm shocked they've been able to continue recruiting at the level that they have, because obviously when you've got cash in 2025, you're going to be able to bankroll a good roster each and every year across your athletic department. But a small part of me just wonders if these kids that continue to commit to Texas A&M, and again, this isn't really necessarily Clemson related, this is more just thinking out loud, I just wonder. I wonder if the well is going to dry up, not literally from a financial element, but from a perception standpoint, and if things get too deep that they may never be able to recover and be taken as a true and serious contender. Because if we're being honest, I don't view Texas A&M as a true contender coming into any season, regardless of how good their roster is. And maybe this year is the year where that narrative flips, because they're loaded, they've got a favorable schedule, they've got Marcel Reed, who they're really high on, so it should be interesting to see what unfolds in College Station. We'll talk more college football. I want to get to a little bit of Gold Cup. We've got Wimbledon to talk, because Djokovic is down a set right now. Alex De Minaur took the first set, the Australian, sorry if I'm butchering that pronunciation, if anybody's from down under on the Adams Co. Roofing text line. But De Minaur takes a one-set lead, 6-1 in the first set. So he's got Djokovic on the ropes as of right now. We'll talk a little bit about Wimbledon and the results to date. And we'll also talk some NFL and some NBA with some offseason stuff to catch up with. Facts and Childress, Mike Vaughn here on a Monday morning. It's good to be back after a long weekend and a good 4th of July weekend with friends and family. Hope you stick with us here on the program with more to discuss on the other side.
Folks, I think we can all agree America is facing a health crisis. Lots of folks are looking at medication shots and pills to do the trick. But the reality is that the answer is natural. And the answer can be found through our friends at PhD Weight Loss. You're going to drop pounds not only safer, but also faster the natural way. I lost 24 pounds in 5 weeks without rebound weight gain, without hunger cravings, and without long-term dependency on medications, because I don't want to be on medication for the rest of my life, and I bet you don't either. Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team would love to help you. Here's the deal. You can get started right now with a free body scan and personalized metabolic assessment. It takes less than 5 minutes, and I can't tell you how helpful it was for me setting myself up for success in the long term. You'll hold the keys to your personalized metabolic plan in your hand. Don't trade your health for a quick fix. Don't become another statistic. You can do this. Call now for your free body scan, 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Or go to myphdweightloss.com.
When you need plumbing and drain services, call Roto-Rooter and get the problem fixed fast. Roto-Rooter is locally owned and operated. We've been making troubles go down the drain since 1935, and you can count on us for reliable service at your home or business. Call 1-800-GET-ROTO. That's 1-800-GET-ROTO, or schedule service online at rotoroooter.com.
Call Roto-Rooter. Roto-Rooter.
I'm Ryan Beasley. My office works with clients in all areas of state and federal criminal defense to include pre-arrest investigations, white-collar defense, as well as student conduct issues at colleges and universities. Our team works in courts across the state to include city court, magistrate court, state court, and federal court. Our responsive and proactive approach in all cases is relationship-driven, client-centric, and resolution-focused. We look forward to the opportunity to work with you. Please give us a call at 864-679-7777 or find us on the web at www.ryanbeasleylaw.com.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit CantyCanFixIt.com.
Hey guys, summer is here. Nobody wants to see that old dad bod in the pool. At Low Country Male, we don't believe in body positivity. We believe in making men men again. That means taking care of that belly fat, getting that energy back, and getting after it in the bedroom. We offer affordable testosterone and weight loss plans that start at just $5 a day. Our plans come with labs, testosterone, and unlimited doctor visits. We offer ED solutions, NAD, peptides, PRP, shockwave therapy, and much, much more. Make men men again. LowCountryMale.com.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Roar, the only media outlet where you won't need a two-step authentication to access.
It's going to be exciting.
The Roar, where every day's game day.
You back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Faxon and Mike continues here on a Monday morning. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. We've got much to discuss on the itinerary throughout the course of the program today. We'd love for you to join us. We're talking a little Texas A&M right now. And I was walking out, you know, a little bit of why I'm just confused isn't the word. I understand. You know, I'm not naive from a financial element, Mike, as to why people continue to commit to Texas A&M and upper echelon recruits continue to take their services to College Station. But at the end of the day, like, at what point does winning matter? Is kind of my ultimate question and related to Texas A&M. Texter gets in and says it's not that they don't win games. The talent doesn't even end up translating to the NFL, it seems, at Texas A&M. I don't necessarily disagree with you, 420. I wonder why that is. I wonder why that is. Texter gets in. Miami underperforms in most athletics also. Compared to the dollar sign spent, brother, I agree with you, 618. Keep texting in. We appreciate you checking in with the program this morning. Texter gets in and says, this is about the video game. A good problem to have this year is you can't use Clemson online anymore without looking like a bandwagon that uses good teams. I was talking about this with my friends, and for those that might not be hip, early access releases today for the College Football 26 video game. I think the standard edition releases 3 days from now. So we'll be talking a little video games on the program today with that coming out. But yeah, Clemson's got the highest ranked player at their position at like five different positions in the game. They're one of the highest overall teams in the game. Klubnik's the best quarterback in the game. TJ Parker's the best edge. Peter Woods is up there for the best defensive tackles. Wesco, TJ Moore, all those guys have high overalls. So clearly that's going to come with a lot of hype for the Tigers. And yeah, Texter gets in with the point. Like, I don't know how it was. I don't know how it was for y'all growing up, but when I played the games with my friends, like, there were teams that we had banned depending on what the game was. Like, on 2K, when I was growing up, you couldn't use the Heat with LeBron and D-Wade, and you couldn't use the Thunder with KD and Russ, and when, you know, we would ban the Patriots and Madden. Like, nobody wants to use the best teams in the game type thing. So when it's your team, like, when the Warriors were bursting onto the scene, and I've been using them for years and years and years on 2K, learning everybody's jump shots, all of a sudden I wake up one day and they're banned by all my friends. That's what it's going to be this year for Clemson on the college football video game. So it's a good problem to have. You're right, 908. It's a good problem to have. So looking forward to it for sure. But can't use Clemson on those online dynasties. We don't respect. Clemson's way too good to use on your online dynasty. Use that offline. Win a couple natties in your free time. Go challenge yourself a little bit if you're playing with your friends online. That would be my advice to you.
Did you ever play Akron with the Zips and a full team of Kangaroos?
I did play Akron. So this is the thing. Me and a lot of my guys have this online dynasty, and we've been playing games together since, like, it feels like the beginning of time. A couple of which, you know, either played on Clemson athletic teams or play on Clemson athletic teams, including RJ Godfrey, who can't check me on the sticks. Love you, RJ. Same to be said for Barrett, who can't check me on the sticks either. But
we're going to have those guys on to
RJ will own it. RJ will own it, and okay, so will Barrett. Okay. I feel confident in that. But we all play in a league, so we did, like, one-star teams last year, Mike, for our little rebuild dynasty, whatever. And I got Akron 12-1 one year and still couldn't make the playoff. Like, they got to change the playoff algorithm, would be my only gripe with college football headed into this year. But, yeah, there's a little video game discourse for you here in the second segment on a Monday.
Speaking of that, Faxon, how much does it cost you to get the early arrival?
I want to say it's $70. I think it's $70.
Extra?
Not extra. No, just total. I could be mistaken on that. Admittedly, I haven't bought the game. Like, Sam and I have been game sharing. If you guys at home know what that is, like, it used to, like, not really be, like, I don't know if legal is the right word, but, like, there's a loophole to where you can play essentially under one PlayStation Plus subscription and you can buy all the games and both play them. The only issue with that is I game share off of Sam. Like, that's just been the way we've always done it. So I don't know if I even get the early access.
But if you're in the same apartment, it kind of makes sense, right?
I could just walk over to Sam's room and play it at 12 o'clock. So there's nothing wrong with that. And Sam's hosting Out of Bounds this week, so you could catch him and Ben Milstead from 12 to 3. But, yeah, there's our discourse on the video games for today. If you guys have any questions on the college football video game, you can check in with us. Mike, I was doing a little bit of research before we shift gears topic-wise. So Texas A&M has won 31 national championships in their history as an athletic department, which, you know, baseline level sounds pretty impressive. Their most recent came this year in men's outdoor track and field. Now, in football, men's basketball, and women's basketball, it's been a while. Football hasn't won a national championship since 1939. I don't think men's basketball ever has, and women's basketball currently boasts one on their ledger. I'm looking for baseball. They've won the conference like 23 times, which is the most of any A&M program. But again, this isn't necessarily a championship standard that is set within the athletic department, especially when you go to your main sort of page. I'm using the Texas A&M website for this. And the leading national championship sport, no offense to anybody out there who has participated in this, by more than double, is equestrian. Now, an immense amount of respect for the athletes in equestrian. You don't ever hear much media coverage about college equestrian. And that's not something that you're, like, calling home as the calling card of your athletic department. So, women's basketball has won national championship in 2011. Men's basketball's never won it. Football hasn't won it since 1939. I couldn't tell you, outside of financial reasons, why people continue to go to Texas A&M. But I'm sure in today's day and age, it will continue to stack up at A&M for certain. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. We're going to shift gears. I'm going to take 5 to 10 real quick on the Gold Cup. So, last night, and we've got a contingent of people that watch and keep up with the United States men's national team. This is the bat signal for y'all out there. Get in on the text line and the phone lines with your thoughts, because I know y'all are frustrated just like I am. USA lost to Mexico last night, Mike, and I know you're a pretty big soccer guy with all you do with the Triumph, and you do a million different things, man. You're on top of everything in the sports world. Did you get a chance to catch the Gold Cup final last night between you, the United States and Mexico?
I missed it. I did know it was coming. I knew it was ahead of us. But, I'm thankful that the USA made it into the final.
Right.
At least that's an accomplishment. We've had a lot worse things to talk about when it comes to USA men's national soccer for a while. But at least they made it to the final.
Right. They did lose in the final to Mexico. And, you know, I've got a lot of thoughts. I could do the whole show on this, to be honest with you, on United States men's national team, but we'll keep it to 5 to 10 minutes. So let's start out with what's probably going to steal the spotlight nationally and maybe even locally. I'm not sure how many people were tapped in last night locally, but the United States got screwed pretty badly by the officiating. I don't like to blame the officiating. I don't think the officiating is why you lost. There was a clear handball penalty that should have gone in favor of the United States that did not go in favor of the United States in about the 65th minute. And about 11 minutes later, Mexico scored the inevitable winner to take it 2-1 on something, again, that was reviewed by VAR and was given to Mexico, confirmed as a goal. So Pochettino, who's the manager of the United States men's national team now, the Argentine who managed Tottenham Hotspur, who managed Paris Saint-Germain, who managed Chelsea, he was frustrated. You know, he kind of sounded off on the officials in the post-game press conference. And he said it was embarrassing to see the situation, and it's a shame. 70,000 people in the stands can see given a penalty. I know it's not easy. The VAR decision was no penalty. This was going to be the main talking point after this game, which is unfortunate because it gets us away from like what the actual talking points about the Gold Cup, you know, the pool of players, the results, and what the level of concern should be right now with the United States men's national team. So now that we've got that out of the way with the penalty, which albeit I think it was BS, and Texer gets in and says, are we going to talk about the handball controversy? Chris and Belton wants to know. Yeah, Chris, it's frustrating. It's frustrating, and I think that ultimately at the end of the day, I think that this is a good thing for the United States. And I'll walk out as to why, okay? Texter gets in and says, several key players didn't play for the United States, right? Correct. You would be 100% correct. Another texter gets in and says, I've decided with fellow clips and holding on that, I can see not giving the handball. Agreed. I think it could go either way. Like, the rule technically is very weird on the handball, but I don't necessarily believe that's the reason you lost. Like, I thought you were pretty outclassed. I was playing basketball at the time of the game, so I went back and watched this morning before the show. You got your butt kicked yesterday. There's not really any other way to put it other than you got your butt kicked. I thought Mexico had entire control of the game. United States scored on a set piece very early into the game, and after that, you know, could just never necessarily get a semblance of an identity or a feel within the game. And it felt like they took their foot off the gas and their intensity slipped to a certain degree. So that part of it was disappointing. But I'm going to do something that I never thought I would do behind a microphone, because I was very frustrated with the way that his tenure ended for my club team, Tottenham Hotspur. I'm going to defend Mauricio Pochettino. I see a lot of people saying that Pochettino should be fired. And I see a lot of people saying Poch out. The United States need a change in leadership. The United States need a change in manager. I'm going to push back on that. I think that the player group, or the player pool rather, stunk out loud with way too many MLS players. And MLS players are not good enough to win at a high level of international soccer. That is the harsh reality here in this country. We have a problem with our league. It's a big part of why soccer is not more popular within the United States. And when you bring a crop of players that is primarily consistent of Major League Soccer players, you kind of get what you get and you don't pitch a fit, folks. Like, I saw the team sheet yesterday. I rooted really hard for the United States, as I always do, especially against Mexico. But there was a sense of impending doom when I saw this player pool originally that just led me to believe that the United States was not going to be winning the Gold Cup this year. And ultimately, that's what happened. As far as players on this team that are actually going to play for the United States within the World Cup, I think you have Malik Tillman, a guy that's getting looks from PSV right now. I think you have Diego Luna, an MLS guy that's a dual nat that actually chose the United States over Mexico, that's shown a little bit of fire and a little bit of passion. I like his game. I think I like him more as a substitute. You have a guy like Matt Fries, who could potentially be vying for the starting goalie role, because that's a very weak position right now for the United States, or potentially be your backup in 2026. And then you have a guy like Sebastian Berhalter, who, albeit I don't think he's a great player, I think he provides value to the team because of his set-piece expertise, and he is a demon on set-pieces. Oh my gosh, he's unbelievable. That ball is on the money every time off of those set-pieces, and that's how the United States scored yesterday on a header to another player that I think is locked to be a starter in the 2026 World Cup, which is Chris Richards. So those are my overall and general takeaways, just in totality, and about the United States men's national team. And I think there were some pretty awful player personnel decisions from Pochettino, even though I'm defending him, to be frank. Like, there were guys that were left out of this camp, such as a Josh Sargent, such as a Cameron Carter-Vickers, that I thought undeniably could have helped this team win and win games. And instead, this kind of served as a showcase for a lot of the MLS players. And it was really, really frustrating. So, Texter972, and we're getting some great texts in. If you guys love the United States men's national team like I do, tap in with us in these next 3 minutes, because we'll be talking Gold Cup, we'll be talking player pool, we'll be talking everything. Texter says, first off, thoughts and prayers to Diego Jota, wife and family, just an awful situation. Yes, wanted to get that out of the way at some point today as well. Liverpool star tragically and suddenly passed 3 days after his wedding this past weekend. One of the best young players in the world, in Diego Jota, Portuguese guy for Liverpool. That's beyond tragic situation. That was awful to see.
So may he rest in peace. And we're sending thoughts and prayers for sure to his wife and his family during a tough time for them. But the overarching theme of this text was, why do we insist on starting Agnew every start? Gosh, this kid is so bad. Maybe in a few years from now, he'll be good, but he looks like a 12-year-old who grew 12 inches in a year and doesn't know how to use his feet. Thirdly, people saying this is our B team. Well, the A team got their butts kicked a few weeks ago, so I don't think that point is valid. I saw a few bright spots from this team and some young guys stepped up. Luna, Tillman, Freeze, all shoved, really good heart. So love that. Yeah, to be honest, Agnew and I'm probably butchering the pronunciation there because I mute all of the United States broadcasts because I think they're insufferable. And I don't think the broadcast teams know anything about soccer. I think it's disgusting what the coverage of the sport in this country looks like. So you're going to have to bear with me because I don't watch the MLS and I'm not subjecting myself to that. And I mute the broadcast. So Agnew, he's the worst striker I've ever seen play for the United States. It's not really close. I don't think there's a comparison. The lack of technical ability really makes me wonder if I should have stuck with this sport for longer than I should have. Because if he can get a move to Derby County and 10x his wages based off of the cameo that he just showcased in the Gold Cup, maybe I did have a future in this sport after all. Because I have never seen a less technically able player for the United States men's national team than quote-unquote Big Pat, which is what they're calling him. And I have a theory that we'll walk into the next segment. I don't think that Pochettino was choosing these players. And I don't want to tinfoil hat my way into the show this morning, especially in the first hour of the week, because we got a long week to go. I truly believe there's an agenda here to push the MLS players onto the United States men's national team. Like, that's truly my takeaway and my belief. Because, listen, I watched Mauricio Pochettino coach my team for a very long time at Tottenham Hotspur. He has his flaws, okay? He's not a tactician. He's not a very good adjuster within game. But player personnel decisions and selecting the most talented players, that was never once an issue for Pochettino at any step of his career, whether it be Tottenham Hotspur, whether it be Paris Saint-Germain, whether it be Chelsea. That's never been an issue for him. So when I look at this team sheet and I look at the fact that Cameron Carter-Vickers was excluded, Josh Sargent was excluded, Serginho Dest was excluded, a lot of these guys that have European football experience that we've seen as core pieces of the United States men's national team, especially in these tournaments like the Gold Cup, I really just have to wonder if there is some sort of ulterior motive or agenda coming from the Federation to push the MLS players to try and continue to grow the game and grow the sport within the United States with their primary league. And again, I know that sounds a little tinfoil hatty. I know that sounds a little crazy and out there, but for the life of me, I played this sport my whole life. I've studied this sport my whole life. The fact that that guy continued to play striker and Josh Sargent was left off the roster for footballing reasons, which is what Pochettino said, it's inexplicable. Like, it's not something that's really arguable in my mind as to who the better football player is. So, it's frustrating, and it's frustrating for certain. And the United States has a lot of concerns right now, which we'll walk out for about five more minutes in the upcoming segment. Texter gets in and says, I'm a Spurs fan basically because of Dempsey. I'd like to know how you became a Tottenham guy. Same thing. Dempsey's my favorite athlete ever. They went to Fulham. The games weren't on TV, so I pulled for Fulham for a couple of years and watched when I could. And then he got to Tottenham and more games started being on TV. And then I fell in love with Bale and Modric and all those guys on the team when Dempsey played at Tottenham. And at that point, that was my team. Wish I chose differently. And Dempsey almost got a Liverpool move, so I'm sure I would be a lot happier right now if I were a Liverpool fan. Texter gets in and says, I wish our team would sing the national anthem with the same amount of pride that other countries do. It's embarrassing. Does anyone notice that? Groups embody the, you know, mentality and the demeanor of their leader. And Christian Pulisic thought that he was better than the country and didn't even want to show up. So not really shocking to me to see the players not show a ton of passion and not show a lot of care. Another texter gets in. If MLS would relegate teams to a lower division, it would increase the productivity in play because you want to be on top, you want to stay on top. You don't get relegated. That's why soccer is so bad in this country. We need to have enough teams to where you can relegate teams to a lower division like the Premier League. You're 100% correct, Chris. You're 100% correct. And, you know, the MLS really hinders itself from what it can become with the cap on domestic players and the international players that you can bring into your squad with the lack of promotion and relegation and more. So we'll walk out a couple more United States men's national team related thoughts in the upcoming segment, and then we'll shift gears with a little bit of Wimbledon. And we've got much college football to discuss in hour number two of the program. Stick with us here with Faxon and Mike on a Monday. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in.
When you need to move, choose Tiger Moving Company for an affordable and stress-free experience. Our team of capable, trainable, and professional movers is dedicated to providing extraordinary customer service. Whether you're relocating across town or across the state, we work hard to ensure your move is seamless. Let's start your journey today. Visit tigermovinggreenville.com and discover why we're the best choice for your next move. Voted best in the upstate for the past 7 years. Tiger Moving, the easy way to move.
Injured at work? You don't have to face it alone. At Smith Jordan Law Firm, we fight to get you the workers' compensation you deserve. Medical bills, lost wages, and stress. Let us take that burden off your shoulders. With years of experience and real results, Smith Jordan Law is here for you. Call us today at Smith Jordan Law Firm at 864-343-2222 or visit smithjordan.com. Smith Jordan Law, protecting injured workers every step of the way. We are local attorneys with a proven track record.
Spring is here, and summer's right around the corner. Is your backyard ready? At Harbin Lumber Company, we have everything you need to build the perfect deck for grilling, chilling, and making memories. From top quality wood and composite decking to railings and accessories, we've got it all. Durable, beautiful, and built to last. Your dream deck starts at Harbin Lumber. Visit Harbin Lumber today and get decked out for the season. Call or stop by, because great decks start with great materials. Visit us in-store or online at harbinlumber.com.
Combine a Bojangles Chicken Supreme with a toasted bun that's great on the go, and you get Bo's Bird Dog. Grab two for $5 for a limited time only. It's Bo time.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit EngineersSleep.com.
Experience unbeatable value at Toyota of Easley. Kick off your summer with incredible low rates and loyalty cash on a new Toyota Camry. Choose from our huge selection on the lot and drive home today in your new Camry. If you need new tires, take advantage of our buy three, get the fourth for a dollar sale running through July. Ensure a safe drive with great prices. Call 864-855-2233, visit toyotaofeasley.com, or stop by for a test drive today. Toyota of Easley on Calhoun Memorial Highway in Easley.
Saturdays in the South start right here with college football talk all summer long on The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
We welcome you back in. Final segment of the program here on a Monday. Great track there, Mike. Figured since we're on the soccer topic, might as well play the greatest FIFA song of all time, at least my opinion. So you guys can get in if we got any ball knowers out there in the audience at 654-ROAR. Tap in with us on the Adams Co Roofing text line. Final couple comments on the United States men's national team. And again, like, I could probably do all of our 13 hours local programming just ranting and complaining, because this is like my favorite team on planet Earth. And I don't know. I kind of had a moment of realization last night that I might just never watch us win the World Cup. And that sucks, because it's sort of the first time in my life I've come to that realization. But Federation's an absolute mess right now, and there's a lot of issues. Texter gets in and says, I'm not a soccer fan, but from my perspective, while the popularity has grown, it is still down the list in the United States. When our college or pro football team loses, it ruins our whole week in the pain, or the loss stays with us for the rest of the year. The same goes with college basketball. When it comes to soccer, the agony of defeat is not that deep, in my opinion, in this country. And you're right, 7-1-1, and it's like, it's showcased every time the United States plays Mexico, and Mexico dominates the crowd for games played in the United States. Like, last night is NRG Stadium in the United States, and I'm going to guess it's 85-15 Mexico fans. That's what actual culture for your country looks like. That's what actual culture, you know, for your soccer federation looks like. And that's what, you know, fans that care and players that care look like. None of their top flight talents were skipping out to go rest or thought that they were above representing their country in a major tournament like the Gold Cup. So I think that you're 100% on the money, 7-1-1, which is, there's not enough care or passion amongst Americans related to soccer for things to really take drastic changes. And what's unfortunate is the 26th World Cup has been highlighted as the biggest moment for American soccer
really in all of my lifetime. Like, I remember when I was playing ODP growing up, they were talking about the 2026 World Cup essentially then. Like, this has been something that ever since the United States got it, everyone knew that the whole world's eyeballs were going to be on the United States, and soccer coincided in 1-1 for really the only time ever since, you know, it was previously played in the United States back in the 80s, 90s, whenever that was. So for me, it's really just kind of frustrating to see the Federation absolutely out of sorts and in a you know, complete wreck even more than usual when this was the chance to swing the pendulum next year. And listen, like, miracles can happen, and maybe they pull something out of the hat and go to all the way to the round of eight or something, right? You know, I'm not completely giving up yet. But for me, that's been the most frustrating part of this process is this is when the momentum is supposed to be capitalized on. This is when you're supposed to grow the game. This is when you're supposed to create that cultivation, that passion, that interest. This is when you're supposed to inspire tons of youth kids across the country. Hey, you know what? Maybe I want to give soccer a chance instead of baseball or basketball because I just watched Pulisic go win a bunch of games on TV for the World Cup. But instead, he's skipping the Gold Cup. And our first team players think that they're too good to represent the country.
I've got a great place for you to start to get it turned around, Faxon. And it comes from Texter on the Adams & Co. Roofing text line, 481. I really wish our team would sing the national anthem with the same amount of pride that other countries do. It's embarrassing. Does anyone else notice that? What's your take on that? I mean, I think you look at so many teams that start off, youth teams, and one of the first things they teach their kids is, here's how we're going to stand, here's how we're going to present ourselves for the national anthem before we ever take the playing field. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely plays an element into it. Like, to be honest, I've always been more focused on what's going on the field than off the field, but I do think that, like, again, that sets the tone for your whole match, right? And last night, you know, when Mexico is passionately singing the anthem, they've got the crowd behind them, that makes an impact. And you can see, like, the level of care and the level of investment and the level of passion within that program, within that federation, and really just within that country for the sport. And that's something that the United States don't necessarily have. So definitely disappointing. Much to discuss on the United States men's national team front going forward. And a disappointing result last night to lose the Gold Cup 2-1. Again, I'm a Spurs guy that's been very critical of Pochettino throughout the course of his career. I think firing him right now would be a moronic decision that really just sets you up for failure. And also, that buyout is massive, and I don't think we can afford it. So, going to whisper when I say that, but I think that's the truth right now. I think you're kind of pigeonholed with Pochettino with the amount of money that you gave him, just based on a USMNT Federation standpoint. So, Poch is our guy. And at this point, all we can do is hope that he makes better player personnel decisions. We can hope that guys raise their level of play in this next upcoming year hosting the World Cup. And we can hope that, you know, hopefully a leader emerges from this group of players that's been deemed the golden generation, which, to be blunt and harsh, starts to look more and more like a joke every single day. So I'm down in the United States right now. I'm not giving up yet, but definitely disappointed with the way things have transpired as of late. Let's shift gears here on the Roar. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to tap in with us. Mike, a plethora of directions we can go here on the program. Let's go down to Atlanta. Oh, goodness gracious. The Braves are 11 games under 500 for the first time in 8 years. They fell to 39-50 this past weekend. We got a couple texters in very early on the program about Snitker, about Acuna, and more. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to check in. We'd love to hear from you. And texter 034 says, sad to say, Snitker's press conference after the extra inning loss Saturday reminded me just a little bit of a couple different things. Very sad. Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with you, texter. It was a pretty somber demeanor in the postgame press conference, so let's talk about it. The Braves lose 5 out of 6 this weekend. They host the Angels for 3 and the Orioles for 3. They drop the first game of the weekend by a score of 4-0. Joe Adele breaks the game open in the 8th. They put up 4 on the scoreboard. Grant Holmes goes 6, strikes out 10. Not enough for Atlanta to get the job done. Acuna 0 for 4. Olsen 1 for 3. Riley had 3 hits, but your 7 hits weren't enough to play to run, and you drop that first game to the Angels. Second game of the weekend, or at least of our break, 8-3. The Braves get the winner. Olsen's on a scorched earth heater right now. He's like the best first baseman in baseball to date this season, so he's been phenomenal. Again, there are bright spots. Acuna, Olsen, Murphy, Baldwin, the pitching before the whole staff, you know, essentially just died as far as MLB terms go. And 4 of your 5 opening day rotation starters are injured and appear to be out for the majority of the season. So obviously, that can't really be a bright spot with the injury severity. But Olsen's been great, Mike. And Murphy's been great as of late. And Baldwin's been great all year. And Acuna's been great, even though he's starting to slump a little bit. And his timing's thrown off with his fastball. So Ole hits a grand slam there. And you had a chance to take the series against the Los Angeles Angels. And you threw Bryce Elder. And that usually results in a loss. And that's what happened on the rubber match. Olsen gets a hit. Acuna gets a hit. Profar had a nice weekend in his debut for the Braves, so that was a bright spot as well. But the Braves lost that one 5-1. And then I'm not going to go game by game for the sweep to the Baltimore Orioles. You lost by one run, three runs, and one run. All were in very similar and frustrating fashion. And, you know, I've kind of made the comments a couple of times at this point that it feels like every single Braves loss this season is the exact same. I'm going to stick to that comment, man. And the Orioles series was just the embodiment of what's gone wrong with this team from start to finish this season. You have a chance to win the game on Saturday, it was. You blew it in extra innings. You had a chance to win the game on Friday. You lost by one run. You had a chance to win the game on Saturday. On Sunday, rather. You lost by one run. And I feel bad for poor Grant Holmes. Grant Holmes, over his past two starts for the Atlanta Braves, has gone 12 innings, given up two total earned runs, and has two losses on his resume as a result of that. So, not fun. Not fun times for sure in Atlanta for the Braves. Austin gets in and says, wave the white flag. Yeah. Texter gets in and says, let's just call it what it is. They suck this year onto college football. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not somebody that's going to sit on here and BS y'all. I think it's over. I don't think it makes any sense to even necessarily consider buying at the deadline, because I don't think you gain anything from buying. I think you should be selling whatever asset you can sell, and trying to con somebody into taking Ozzie Albies, and trying to con somebody into taking Marcelo Zuna, who's been one of the worst players in baseball over the last 2 months. And you know, you DFA'd Verdugo, so that's a nice step in the right direction for the quality of your outfield. But you know, there are like five or six players on this team that have been great this year, and the rest of the team has underperformed based on what the standard has been set in the past. So, I'm not somebody that likes to blame one person in any sport, in all the sports world, because I think it's a lot deeper than that. This is an organizational top-to-bottom failure of the season, and it's just really disappointing to see the way that things have transpired. It doesn't mean that the Braves don't have a future. It doesn't mean that the Braves don't have a future with this nucleus of players. But what I think is evident to date is that a retooling is desperately needed for the Atlanta Braves in the near future. And you're going to have to part ways with some of the members of this core, either this offseason, this trade deadline, or, you know, looking into the future, if you really want things to change. So, Mike, I know you're a Braves guy to an extent as well. Where are you at on Atlanta as of right now? Obviously not a fun season, and it just feels like this injury bug's never going to go away with our Braves, man.
You know, when you get behind facts and you sometimes tend to think, well, at least we're in it for the wild card. Maybe we can still pull out the wild card spot. And you look and you see that the Braves are 9 games out of the wild card. It's a gut punch. But you missed one very bright shining light that we learned over the weekend.
Which is?
This could start the rebirth of the Atlanta Braves. And that is that the one, the only Jesse Chavez has returned. Let's go.
Jesse Chavez is back, man. Shout out to Uncle Jesse. And yeah, you know, there are some positives, like Mike said. So Don Munson shot me a couple texts last night. And whenever Don Munson texts, I'm always paying attention because it's probably something important, Mike. It's a pretty good rule of thumb to have just in general. So Don Munson fires me off a couple texts last night. And it is Braves statistics in the past 20 and 30 games for Michael Harris and Marcelo Zuna. Michael Harris, in his past 20 games, is 7-67, 107 batting average. Michael Harris has not drawn a walk in his last 153 plate appearances dating back to May 18th. I will repeat. Michael Harris has played every game but one since May 18th. He has not drawn a walk in 153 plate appearances. Now, again, Michael Harris has more talent in his left arm than I will ever have in my whole body, regardless of what happens. He's the best defensive center fielder in baseball. He's a great base runner. That's impossible. Like, that's pretty much impossibly bad at the plate right now from Harris. And I would go as far as saying that if you just went up there for 153 straight appearances and did not swing, you are bound statistically to draw a walk at some point. And what has started to happen with Michael Harris is nobody's throwing him strikes. Because why would you throw him anything he can hit when he's going to swing regardless? It's like you've given... Maybe some parents out here can relate, and I'm not a parent, and hopefully I've got a little bit, to go before that happens in my life. But in all seriousness, Mike, this is like if you give your 4-year-old or your 5-year-old the controller for the first time on MLB The Show, and they're just figuring something out. So they're swinging at everything. That's what it's like watching Michael Harris right now, a toddler playing a video game. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful. This stat is impossible. Like, that is not possible and does not compute in my brain from a mathematical standpoint that he has gone 153 consecutive plate appearances without drawing a walk dating back to May 18th. He is also hitting .210 and is amongst last Major League Baseball qualifiers in on-base percentage, .235 and OPS at .552. Now, Don Munson also shot me off another text about Marcell Ozuna. Marcell Ozuna. I can't even believe this looking through it. In Marcell Ozuna's past 30 games, Ozuna is 18 for 113, 159 batting average, one homer, 32 strikeouts, and a .475 OPS. Dave O'Brien from the AJC, he follows that up by saying, even if the Braves wanted to trade Ozuna, I'm not sure they could net anything for him at this point. So, again, Michael Harris is making like $9 million this year. Marcell Ozuna is making $16 to $18 million this year, depending on where his bonuses kick in. It's a $25 million investment at two of the worst players in baseball at their position to date. And you could further that point by saying Ozzie is making $7 million, and he is the worst player at his position to date in baseball. Not really debatable either. And then you further that point by saying, well, Nick Allen's glove is great at shortstop, but he's a bottom three offensive shortstop in the majors. And you combine that with Austin Riley underperforming what his contract is, with Profar being popped for PEDs at the beginning of the year, and four of your starting five in your opening day, in Sale, Schwellenbach, Smith, Schauver, and Lopez, all down due to injury and have missed massive time, in addition to Strider missing extended time and Acuna missing extended time. Like, I guess my question at this point is it really shocking anymore? Everything that could have possibly gone wrong for the Braves this year has gone wrong to date. And maybe there's some point where that turns around, but this is the first time you're 11 games below 500 in 8 years, and I think I'm waving the white flag as of right now. Second hour of the program up next. We're talking college football here on The Roar with Faxon and Mike. Stick with us.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are The Roar.